Sunday Evangelium with Father Marcus Holden on the Feast of All Saints.
Today we celebrate our fellow human beings who have made it. Not the millionaires, not the great businessmen or powerful politicians, not the media celebs, but those who have reached the goal of goals, the only one worth reaching, heaven. It's the saints we celebrate. We're talking about the entire population of heaven, all those who have made it. Mothers and fathers who remain faithful and chaste, holy children who died in infancy, the widow who just kept praying her rosary, the beggar who never stopped hoping, the deathbed convert in the hospital who wept for his sins. A vast multitude, as the book of Revelation describes it, virgins, confessors, apostles, martyrs, they have reached that sweet and blessed country, even if through a fiery terrain. What are saints but human beings who have realized that they are not simply beasts of burden for 20, 30, 80 years in this world, pleasure-seeking machines, alone in the universe, as accidents of creation, or merely subjects of a distant creator or cause, but rather that they are children of God, given an eternal destiny. They have realized what John the Divine realized, as he wrote in our second reading today. They've realized that love that created them, that saved them, and which brings them home. One particular group from the population of heaven is the group we call the canonized saints, those officially recognized examples of holiness. In them we see flesh and blood examples of how to follow Christ, each in his or her own way, show forth the face of Christ. They come from every walk of life and every age. We can become saints by following their example. It reminds me of the story of Saint Ignatius Loyola. He was a soldier in his early career, and when a cannonball hit his calf and shattered it, he was laid up in a monastery, convalescing in May 1521. He used to read chivalrous romances, and in the monastery there was very little of that kind of literature to read, only a pile of books about the lives of the saints. But eventually, through sheer boredom, he began to read them. And a change came over him. He was captivated. He saw there a greater chivalry in the lives of men like Francis and Dominic than he found in 100 romances, which left him cold. He became, as we know, one of the great saints of the Church. Ad maiorem Dei gloriam, all for the glory of God, the founder of the Jesuit order. You see, saints produce other saints. Sanctity, holiness, is attractive. It's contagious, because we see how we're supposed to be. Saint John Bosco, who's one of my favourite saints, was a great teacher of holiness. Many of his pupils became saints. One of them, Saint Dominic Savio, is recognised in the universal calendar of the Church. He once said, "I feel I simply must become a saint. If I'm not becoming a saint, I'm doing nothing." And that's the point. If we're not becoming saints, we're doing nothing. I remember speaking in an assembly for children one day in a school. After 3 years of talking about the saints, I finally asked the children, "Do you want to become a saint?" And about 200 little hands went up. Yes, they'd got it. That's why we're made. That's what God wants. That's what answers the human condition. We're called to glory. If we know, if we realize that we are immortal, that we're made for God, that heaven is our true homeland, that everything we do on earth reaches into eternity, then we simply must become saints. There's nothing else worth doing. Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus, the little flower, as a girl of 15, got it bang on right. "I want the whole lot," she wrote. There's no point in becoming a saint by halves. And every event in our lives is part of the pathway to holiness. Even the sufferings, the trials, the frustrations, the failures. Is this not the message of the Beatitudes today? One of my favourite authors, the American Peter Kraft, always says, the world is like one giant saint-making machine. And it is, if we allow it to be so. Now, becoming a saint doesn't mean doing amazing, heroic deeds for all to see. It means doing the ordinary things with grace extraordinarily well, like the virtues we find in the Beatitudes. It's not rocket science. In fact, you can't reach heaven in a rocket, but you can get there by the road of the Beatitudes, the road of the virtues. I'll give you 5 secrets of holiness that you can find in the life of each and every one of the saints. Fidelity to the Mass, where we gain strength for our lives and love for our hearts from Christ. Regular confession, so that when we fall, we can be raised up by the Lord, and it keeps us real. Daily prayer, where we remember we are children of God and retain our intimacy with the Father. Works of charity, by which we imitate Christ. And fulfilling duty, our vocation in life, whatever that may be, with regularity and with devotion. The saints can encourage us in 2 ways. First, they were weak human beings who became great by the power of God. Anything is possible to us. But secondly, they intercede for us. They really care for us. They urge us on. They're not just simply examples or stories, but living friends, brothers and sisters in the faith. St. Paul tells us that our lives in this world are like runners in a great race in a stadium, and we can think of those saints as cheering us on, challenging us, urging us to run for the finish line, to go for gold, to take the prize. They're saying to us, your life is worth it. You are of infinite value. You are God's child with no cheap dignity. Let no sin, no ideology, no person take away your baptismal birthright. This is the gospel, the Evangelium today. Dare to become a saint.